Second Peter in your Bibles this morning in chapter 2. We went through 1 John verse by verse, finished the book of 1 John, looked into 2 John and 3 John at the warning against false teachers. John warned about antichrists, those who are a false spirit, who would deny that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. They would deny that He is the Savior and Messiah, what we call the Christ. He warns against false teachers. And we looked at 2 John, and we looked at 2 Peter, we looked at Jude. All of these books spend a lot of their verses warning against false teachers of our day. Paul had warned about it, and when he met with the leaders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 32, warning that even from amidst the flock, teachers would rise up, speaking perverse things and lead people astray. Jesus warns about it in Matthew 7. And Paul in Colossians chapter 2 uses a little different aspect when he warns of those that would take you captive through philosophy and vain deceit. They would spoil you, or you'd be like the spoils of war. They'd take you captive through philosophy and vain deceit after the rudiments of the world. So he cautions people to beware of false teachers. He warns young Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 5, something that's very popular in preaching today in the world, and that is that it's a false teaching to believe that gain is godliness. We have this prosperity theology that has gone through the country today, teaching that you can make notes on the preacher's sermons and use God to make you rich. And I think they take a truth from the Bible and they carry it to an extreme that the Bible doesn't teach. Well, today we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. He goes on to talk about God didn't spare the angels that sinned, or Sodom and Gomorrah, or the old world in Noah's day, and God won't spare these false teachers either. They will face the judgment of God. He calls them false teachers who bring in damnable heresies. Today, people kind of have the attitude in the world, not in a Bible-believing church like this, but just people you meet out in the world who profess to be Christians often think you're not supposed to talk bad about anybody, and that if anybody names the name of Jesus, then that's okay, and you're not to speak against their church or their teaching or whatever it may be. Problem is, when it goes in error of the Bible, it becomes a false teaching. And false teachers bring in these, what the Bible calls, damnable heresies. What people believe affects how they behave. And some false teachers are very easy to spot for mature believers, because they immediately begin to teach something that's contrary to the Scripture, and mature believers know the Word, and so they immediately spot false teaching. But all of it's not that easy to pick out, because there are those that would be wolves in sheep's clothing, the Bible says, who will lead people astray. Turn back in your Bible with me to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Excuse me. Oh boy, let me take this off. Matthew chapter 7. I'll get there. Verse 13. Scripture says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the great gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which shall come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, every corrupt tree. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Let's pray. Lord, help us in the word study today. Help us to grow in our faith, the knowledge of the Word of God, be grounded and settled in truth and not led astray by the false teachers of the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Richard DeHaan wrote, "Heretics come in as many varieties as Campbell soups." It's a lot of varieties, I think. In America, and especially in the Bible Belt today, there's a danger of people rejecting the church and rejecting the Bible because of prohibitions. They turn to fables. They get taken as spoil by false teachers through philosophy and vain deceit. Adam and Eve were created by God and placed in the Garden of Eden, and they could eat of every tree that was in the garden. Can't imagine God's creation, what the trees were like, and the fruit was in a perfect state, and they could eat of any of those. There was just one prohibition for them, and that was one restraint, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that's the one thing they did. They disobeyed God, they ate of the tree, and by doing so, they had disobeyed God and sinned. Now today, many people don't like restraints. They don't like to be told they can't do something. They don't like to be told that there's a prohibition from the Bible that should affect Christians' lives. And so quite often people will get out of church or turn away from the Bible or turn away from God because of restraints or prohibitions. The flesh doesn't like restraints. After all, you know, you could stay home and watch TV and find some religious programming on television, and you could eventually find what you want to hear. There wouldn't be any covenant to keep. There wouldn't be any doctrine to believe. There wouldn't be any restraint against sinful things. Now, the Bible makes it clear in Matthew chapter 7 that not all will be saved. Not everybody professing salvation, professing to know the Lord, will be saved. There's the danger of the religious lost, those who have religion but don't know Christ as their Savior. The Bible then goes on to say there will be more that will be lost than will be saved, because wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And the gate and the way for truth is narrow, and it leads to life, but few there be that find it, the Scripture says. More people will be lost than will be saved, and that tells me that hell, as the Bible says, hath enlarged itself. There'll be more people who go to hell than there will be people who go to heaven. Preachers and teachers of truth produce good fruit, But false teachers produce corrupt fruit. They lead people astray from truth and produce religious people who are not saved. There are many expecting to be saved when they face the Lord one day, will not. They will hear Him say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you." Now that's a tragic, tragic thing that people could be religious and do things for God in His name and yet not be saved, and therefore their works are not pleasing unto God. They do works in His name. They look the part. They dress nice. Some of them wear religious garb, turned around collars and robes and crosses and sashes and three-piece suits and all kind of things like that. They look good, and they look like a preacher. And some of them have big churches and TV ministries and all that sort of thing. But God's description of their ministry in that day, if they're lost when they stand before Him, will be, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you." No one is going to be saved after they die. Jesus said, "I never knew you." If He never knew you, then you can't be saved, and there's not going to be any salvation after we die. Now, some people foolishly believe that they're going to have another chance. There's the teaching of reincarnation. Some people think they're going to come back in life and have another opportunity. And some who believe in reincarnation believe that they'll come back as an animal or something like that. Some people believe it'll be as another person. There's a lot of these people that think they've lived numerous lives before, you know. And they teach reincarnation. Well, some people just disbelieve hell. And so, "I'm not going to hell because there is no such thing as hell." Did you know that just because you don't believe it does not mean that it's not true? And the Bible says it is true, so I'm going to stick with what the Bible says instead of what people say. The lake of fire is the permanent abode for the unsaved world. And Revelation chapter 20 makes it clear that's where the beast and the false prophet will be cast. And they'll be tormented day and night forever and forever. But then it goes on to say, "And all those whose names are not written in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire." That's a horrible thought. The Bible says the beast and the false prophet will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You can't make the Greek words give a longer period of time than by saying forever and ever. It adds the total end to the total end. All the dead, small and great, will stand before God one day. All that are in hell will be brought up, and all will be judged and cast into the lake of fire, and that is the permanent abode. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So it doesn't matter how religious a person is, doesn't matter how many works they've done, doesn't matter what they say they don't believe in, Christ will say to them, "I never knew you." Does the Lord know you today? The way He comes to know you is by you believing on Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you know the Lord, then the Lord knows you. And Matthew 7, today is the opportunity. Verse number 24 says, "Therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it." So those who hear the word of God and believe on Christ, they're built on the rock foundation. But those who hear God's word and don't follow through, are built on shifting sand, that when the storms come along, they will have a great fall. Well, we have an opportunity today to know the Lord as our Savior. We have an opportunity to obey His Word. We have an opportunity to do what He commands us to do. We have opportunity to be prepared for the storms that will come. And storms will come. All of you sitting around here that's got any gray in your hair, you've had storms come into your life. You know what it's like. You've had problems and troubles and trials and deaths in your family and divorces and marriage problems and children problems and health problems. Storms come. And it's important that when the storms come that we have Christ in our life and salvation so that we're grounded upon the rock. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, behold, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. So we have the opportunity today to be saved, the opportunity to believe on the Lord, the opportunity for Christ to know who we are. And thanks be unto God that when He saves us, He keeps us. We are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day, Peter said. Somebody under the sound of my voice today, whether it's here in the congregation or that may hear the internet of this service, this could be their last opportunity, their last chance to know the Lord as their Savior. Young couple just about 10 days ago from Rock Hill, or York County at least, were run down by a drunk driver driving the wrong way, and both of them were killed. None of us know what a day is going to bring forth. That's why it's so vitally important that when you have the opportunity to be saved, you don't put it off, because you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. You don't know what could happen in your life. The restrictions and prohibitions that people turn away from. We have missionaries in Germany. We have one missionary in the town of Dresden. He has a storefront church in a street of businesses. And there's a bar and a cult and a room that witches use for their practices and beliefs. And he said his church is probably looked down upon as the most offensive of all those things to the people in Germany, because his church teaches and preaches the Bible and salvation. Well, what's happened to Germany? Well, people reject God and the Bible for a long enough period of time, and generations grow up without knowing the Lord. In Germany, one of the problems that missionaries have is beer. They would teach the Bible and teach against drinking. But if you're German, it's a common thing to drink strong beer. And the missionaries would take a stand against that and preach against that. And so many will reject their church or reject their teaching because of that restraint or prohibition. You go to France, missionaries there run into problems with those who drink wine, because everybody drinks wine in France. Little kids get wine with their meal in France. Prostitution is a major problem in Paris and some of these cities. And so if a Christian takes a stand against those things based on the Bible, the restraint causes people to reject them. In Asia, I had a missionary fellow came to this church, sat in the preaching for weeks and weeks. Finally had an appointment with me and told me that he'd been a missionary in Thailand for 4 years. And he came home discouraged and defeated and got out of the ministry. He had come to Rock Hill, York County with a job welding with Beacon Construction Company. And he got stirred in the services here. And he and his wife both found jobs teaching in a Christian school down in Florida, and they went down there and got back into ministry teaching in the Christian school. Well, he said what happened to him in Thailand was He would preach and give an invitation, and people would come forward and say they wanted to be saved. But he learned afterwards all they were doing was adding Jesus on their mantelpiece with the other idols that they worshiped. They weren't turning away from idols as the Thessalonians did. The Thessalonians turned to God from idols to wait for his Son from heaven, the Lord Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. And that is a problem in Asia, along with ancestor worship. You go to certain places in Africa, and missionaries get very discouraged because they have people that will come to their churches and they want to become a part of the church and they want to be saved and they want to be a member of the church, but they're married to several women. And they got a problem with that. And that prohibition keeps people from coming to the church as a result of it. Well, in America, one of the big problems here is people think because they joined the church, they're going to heaven. You don't go to heaven because you joined the church. You go to heaven because you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. And if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you should follow the Lord in baptism and church membership and serve the Lord and live for God and be obedient unto Him. You must be known by the Son of God. Your name must be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You show how real your profession is by how you walk your daily life and how you separate from sinful things and false teachers. I've seen it happen in this church aisle right here. I've seen it happen in Walmart. I've seen it happen at the ball game. A little kid is following his parents, and he gets distracted for some reason and starts following the wrong person. Doesn't realize his mom and dad walked off and he's walking behind somebody else. It happens all the time. Little kids get distracted easily. And, you know, I've even seen them go up and take somebody's hand, you know, thinking it's their mom or their daddy, you know. And a lot of times when they finally figure it out, horror sets in, you know. That's not my mom and dad. Well, you know, as adults, we better be careful who we're following. Joy and I, many years ago, we were going to Savannah, Georgia to a pastor's meeting. We were going to Savannah, Georgia. I'd never been to Savannah, Georgia in my life. I didn't know how to get there. They didn't have GPS and all that sort of thing. I asked somebody for directions. They said, oh, it's easy. You just get on I-77 and go down and get on I-26 and go south on I-26 like you're going to Charleston, and you get off on I-95 and go to Savannah. Follow the signs, no problem. I can do that, you know. So my wife and I, we take off, we get down the road, go down 77, we find I-26, we go south on I-26, see signs for I-95, we get on I-95. The only problem is we go on I-95 going east instead of west. And we were going to Florence, South Carolina. We saw a sign that said Florence, South Carolina, so many miles, you know, just a few miles up the road. I said, hey, we're going the wrong way. We were sincere, but we were going the wrong way. There's a lot of people sincere, but they're not following the Lord. They're not following the Bible. They're not following salvation. But they're sincere. You say, well, you know, that was dumb. I know it. But it didn't matter. I did it anyway. Somebody should have come and got me and stopped me. There wasn't anybody to do that. There's signs up to tell you which way to go. The rich man was in hell. He wanted Father Abraham to send Lazarus back to warn his five brethren lest they come to this awful place of hell. And Father Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. For even if one came back from the dead, they would not believe if they're not going to hear Moses and the prophets. So if people wouldn't follow the Bible, then it wouldn't matter if somebody could come and get them and tell them what they were doing wrong. God's made a way for all men to be saved, and we know there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The lost will stand before Jesus one day and say, "But I listened to a preacher." That's too bad. "I followed my grandma's teaching, and after all, she's an angel now in heaven." No, she's not. People don't become angels, and angels don't become people. That's separate beings. She might have been the sweetest little old lady in all the world, but if she didn't teach you salvation right, you better follow what the Bible says instead of what grandma said. You say, "But I was sincere." You were sincere, but you were lost. And without coming to Christ, we had to get off the interstate and turn around and go the other direction. And life is like that in repentance, that we see the error of our way and that we make a turnaround. And now we're going to heaven instead of going to hell. Jesus said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you." That's why there's such a great danger of false teachers leading people astray. And that's why so much of the Scripture warns us about their teaching. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy to us. We ask you to bless in this invitation and work on hearts. If there's someone here without Christ, we pray they'll come today and receive the Lord. There may be some here that are praying for family members that are lost. We do add our prayers with them. And Lord, the many who might hear through the internet, we do pray for that. We pray for folks to know that Jesus is the Lord, that the Bible is truth, and they won't let the prohibitions keep them from salvation and coming to the Lord. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.